Did you know that we are genetically programmed to want to be in relationships with other people?
Fuck it up. All right, get after it. All right, Sonali, hi.
Hey, girl. Hi. It's good to be here.
It's so good to have you. So what I've actually been doing, actually, I should have asked if you wanted a water, but we're just going to, you're not.
I have my my little flask right here.
You're going to be hydrated as fuck.
I'm prepared. If you guys could see the water to wine ratio.
It's literally like 3 glasses of wine and a bottle of Virginia Black, so we're doing great, sweetie.
Already.
Okay, so what I'm going to just make this a tradition and cheers. So let's cheers for being here.
So excited.
Cheers, tap, sip. So actually a piece of advice that I got was somebody told me that I need to introduce myself. So for those that don't know, my name's Maria.
Yes, hey. My girl Maria.
Hey. But it's like only me doing this. So I don't know who else it would be. It's like the only voice that's like simultaneous, like every single time.
But still, it's okay to like, you know, let people know. The new viewers, Welcome.
Hair flip, Maria.
Yes. Exactly.
By the way, that extra laugh in the background, that's Adri, childhood friend.
Adri.
Hey, say hi.
Hey, what's up, team? What's up, guys?
What's up, team?
Anyways, so I wanted to bring Sonali on because, one, this is all centered around dating, and who better than to bring, like, literally a professional psychologist. That's totally fine. We're in the kitchen. You're good. Than to bring in, like, a professional psychologist. And you and I have, we know each other because we knew each other from high school. Oh, nice. So fine. I mean, I'm not going to take a lot of credit for it because I'm going to be completely honest, as a bench warmer for, you know, the like 4 years of high school.
For like the worst team in our league.
For the worst team. I had a coach that just absolutely hated me. And then Sonali and Nicole were like rock stars the entire time.
Nicole really, she was our shining star.
Dude, she straight was a shining star.
The token!
Mother of pearl, yeah. But so Sonali, so let's just talk about you. I want to know who you are, what you do now, what you went to school for. Just give us the whole lowdown.
Yeah.
Building trust.
Yeah. The rapport part. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's always so weird to like talk about this because like my intro is always like a million years long because I went to like a gajillion schools and did like, you know, if I knew what it really took to be like a psychologist, like before, I feel like they don't tell you on purpose because they know that no one's going to want to do it.
You know that I actually wanted to go to school for psychology.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I did. And then I was like, one, I'm poor, and two, not trying to waste, you know, 9 years of my life. Not God, waste, dude. But spend 9 years of my life on psych.
It literally is like 10 years. Like I went to college for 4 years and then grad school was 5 years. So
no for me, dog.
Yeah. And I really, in all the times I said no, I was like, you need to find ways to say yes.
Yeah.
Because like, you just need to know like why you're there. But anyway, I graduated from Azusa Pacific University, which is a little bit outside of LA for folks that don't know where that is, but it's like a private school. Did my internship at the University of Oklahoma, where I worked. So almost all of my clinical work has been with college students. I love working with like young adults that are like 18, 22, 23. I've worked with some like older, I guess, students that are like in med school and in grad programs too, but just like that age where I feel like, you know, like our age, like where we're like trying to figure out who we are. Like trying to figure out, like how we want to live our lives.
Bitch, I'm fucking 30. If I don't know who I am at this, no, I'm just kidding. I'm literally a shit show. So
many people don't though. Like, and I feel like that's, you know, anyway, I'm going to go off about that later, but I feel like it's, you know, we're supposed to constantly evolve. Like, I think there's this misconception that you just get to a point where you're like, I've made it. I'm self-actualized. Like, I've done all the growing that there is to do. Like, you just, you know, you grow up at different times. But
can we just have a replay from my dad because he's 55 and still has growing up to do? He's not going to listen to this because he got through 15 minutes of my first episode and he's just like, I don't get it. And I was
like, parents.
Oh, no, but I was just like, of course, Russian dad. It's not Tour de France. He's not going to get it. love him.
Immigrant fathers, our dear immigrant fathers.
I know. I love that.
But yeah, so did internship at University of Oklahoma. Then I went on and did like postdoc training. So after you graduate, you still have to get more hours to be able to get a license. So went to California Lutheran University, worked in the counseling center over there. And then just recently finished with USC Athletics in July. So now I'm with, I'm in private practice. I changed from working in university counseling to private practice. I needed a shift. I needed a change. And so I work for Advantage Psychology and Mental Performance Center in LA. And I also work for Los Angeles Psychological Assessment. So we do everything, all of it. We work with athletes. We work with kids. We work with adults. We work, you know, teams, organizations, we do all of it. So,
okay.
Holla at us.
Holla at us. So, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna actually move the mic a little bit closer. No, you're good. You just have the most beautiful, low set voice that I just wanna fall
asleep. Someone told me that I have a therapy voice for sure.
You do, because I'm like listening to you and I'm like, oh yeah, I feel like I'm psychoanalyzed, and you're not even psychoanalyzing me, but you are.
Oh my God, I seriously can't. Okay, I'm gonna be better about talking into the mic.
You're doing great. You're doing great, sweetie. I'm just following these like audio levels, but it's fine. Are you 30 or are you 31?
I'm 29.
29. Okay, so you are my age. When did you turn 30?
I turned 30 in May. Oh. So like what, five months?
Bitch, are you a Taurus?
I am a Taurus.
You're my worst sign. I hate that I'm talking.
Oh my God. Wait, what's your sign?
I'm a Sagittarius.
Oh my God. I actually
You are my father.
Oh. Mm. I've heard a lot of things about Taurus men.
Yeah. But so, I don't know. Women though, I don't know. I've only known like three in my life, so.
I've actually been kind of like looking into this, and like this is kind of like a weird side note. But
that's
like,
okay. Let's lay it on me.
I don't know what it is about astrology that's like so, it's so interesting to me, because I feel like there's, you know, I'm not going to sit here and like preach that you need to like believe in astrology or whatever, but I just think it's such another interesting way to like explain behavior or like, you know, and I'm into that. I'm a psychologist. Yeah. Like I'm all into like theories of why people do whatever the fuck they do. Yeah. So, anyway, I've been looking into like my sun sign is a Taurus. But my moon sign is a Cancer and my rising sign is a Capricorn.
I don't know what any of that means.
Look into that shit. I swear to God, like it will read you more than your sun sign will.
You literally sound like my mother. My mom is like, you need to know the time you're born, the sun sign, the star sign,
the
whatever.
Is she a big astrology person?
Yeah, she is. And I'm like, okay, mom, all I know is I'm a Sagittarius and everyone just tells me that I quote unquote seem like one. So I guess.
Do you feel like you act like a Sag? I don't know what that means. Like when someone says that you act like such a Sagittarius, what is that?
We're like a fun, we're a fun fire sign. So we're like the most like outgoing, I think, on like the star signs. So,
oh my God, you're a fire sign.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying, you fucking earth bitch.
I just have such an interesting relationship with fire signs.
She reads one Refinery 29 article and she's like, I feel so educated.
Don't call me out on the air right now.
What's up? Okay, so in like the field of psychology, do you get to like choose or pick like which sector, I guess, you get to be a part of? Because I know that you work with athletes, but like, how does that work on your end? Because like, and obviously we're going to go into the dating sphere. So how does that kind of fall into that?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think like most of the time, like people develop, so I might bring up like med school a lot or like med examples, because I feel like people understand that so much more than whatever my program is or whatever, you know, however it takes to become a psychologist. But you kind of like when you're in grad school, like you learn so much general information about psychology. Like so you learn theories of behavior. And I think like most people come into grad school with kind of like an interest area, you know? So it was so interesting for me. Like I came into grad school thinking I wanted to work with couples and families.
Whoa.
Yeah. Because I was so interested in like, I'm like, why do groups act the way that they do when they're like together? You know, it's so like interesting, like when someone, when you're with someone like one-on-one, and then when you're with them in a group setting, like how things change, you know, or whether that's for the better or for worse, like whatever it is, you know, but that there's like this shift.
Wait, and hold up. There's an actual sector of psychology that deals with just that specific piece.
Yeah, group psychology.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like, and like family psychology, child psychology, like there's psychology of everything. And so I think like, you know, people refine. I think when I learned, you know, and I think I had a couple of close folks in my life who are athletes who are really dealing with a lot of like the mental health stuff. Mm-hmm. And I know even when we were athletes, like, you know, in high school, like we were all dealing with our own shit, you know, and as athletes, like, you don't get to, you're not supposed to talk about it. Like you just kind of are, you know, even with our low winning record, like there's still an expectation, right? That you're going to like kind of whatever's going on, you like check it at the door and you like show up to practice and like do whatever you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And so I just like, I really noticed that it's even different with like teams and with athletes. And it was so relevant for me at that time because there were so many close folks in my life. That we're dealing just with the mental aspect of like being an athlete. So I completely switched what I wanted to do. And I think, you know, you just throughout the years, you like people develop like their own interests areas, just like they do in like med school. Like people are like, oh, I actually really like working in like the pediatric rotation or whatever. Or like, I really like the surgery rotation. Mm-hmm. It's like you take different types of classes and you're like, I actually really like that. Like I want to learn more about it. And so for me, when I learned, I was like, well, there's more than one way to like work with groups. You know, you don't have to just work with like couples or families. Like you can work with teams. Like you can work with all different, you can work with like companies. You can work with surgeons. You can work with like you can work with actors, anybody. Like, so I think that's where, you know, you just kind of start exploring things on your own. You go to your own trainings. Like you kind of have, there's a certain part of it where you have to like hustle on your own to figure out like what it is that you want to do and like how you get there.
Damn.
And for me, like ours wasn't like a sports psych focused program. So I kind of had to like navigate that, you know, kind of on my own a little bit with some faculty guidance, but.
Got it. And so that was, but that kind of just like is where you landed, where you landed, because that's where your passion was. That's what you wanted to do. Okay.
Yeah. And I think it's like so needed, you know, like right now, I think it's like people are recognizing the importance of it in a, like in professional sports organizations, like across collegiate athletic programs. So I'm like glad that people are finally starting to recognize that athletes are human beings, you know, they have like feelings and like their own emotional experiences and like life experiences that they have to also manage while also dealing with the pressure of watching like 90,000 people watching them in a stadium, you know, or so it's just, it's a lot. And I was like, they could use like someone to like just treat them like a human being. And it was something that just was, you know, I noticed a lot of in our experience. So
So now to like obviously the most important part, are you dating?
Oh my god, it's so fun. Like I don't know why, like I feel like I get this question like so much, but no, like I literally am not dating, which is weird. Like it's not saying that I'm like, oh my god, like I'm dating all the time.
Well, hold up are you not actively dating, or are you just not currently dating?
I'm not dating, period, like at all.
Like you don't want to date,
you're not, I'm not interested in dating. I don't think
you're like throwing your middle fingers up, you're like celibate, you're like I'm gonna just use a vibrator for the
for the time being, you know. Like I just think like you get to this point, like, or at least I got to a point where I was just like, I'm so fucking done with bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, and I just have a lot, you know, I have a lot going on. Like my job's a lot. Like I have all this other shit going on in my life. Like I want someone that can like add to that. If you're like coming into my life, but it's stressful and I, you know, we can't get on the same page about a partnership. Like, I just would rather not have to like play a game to get there, you know? So I don't know what it is. I feel like it's kind of weird. I've never been like the type of person who's like, not even like, I'm always like texting somebody, you know, or like,
Yeah, trust this, girl. Know? I know.
But like, But I'm not really like into that. And I feel like I'm doing like a lot of my own self-work.
I like that.
Yeah, right now. Which I feel like you and I talk about so much.
I'm pretty sure that I'm into your DMs more than anybody. Like everything that you post and talk about, I'm like, this hit my soul. And you're just like,
Maria, literally, yes. Like literally back, like therapy sessions in the DMs.
Yeah.
In the DMs. Talking about our immigrant family backgrounds.
Shit's cold.
And trauma.
Shit is literally
we get deep in the DMs.
Yo, Gotti was right. It goes down in the DM.
It totally. It goes down.
Cue song
down.
Here. Just kidding. Spotify will take me down.
But for real, though.
No, but really.
Yeah.
You know, so I've always wanted to know, right? Like, is it weird dating as somebody, like, in the field of psychology? Do you feel like you... Because I've had people... So,
that's a good question.
And the reason I ask this is because somebody that I'm talking to is just like, you know, because of your interest in psychology, do you feel like you psychoanalyze people? Like, he was wondering if, like, somebody was like, said X, Y, and Z, and then I, out of nowhere, I'm like, well, this is because your parents brought you up this way, and I'm over here like... I mean, what? I think it, but I'm not, like, here accusing people. Like, one, I'm not educated enough to, like, make that estimation.
You're like, that's actually a mommy issue right now that I'm seeing. So I'm going to walk out now.
I have so many mommy and daddy issues. But really, okay, so I want your take. Like, what is it like dating kind of in your field?
It's really, like, I have never dated another therapist. Like,
sounds detrimental.
I don't know what that would be like. Like there's people that do it all the time, you know, like I feel like it could either be really great or it would be like a fucking shit show. It'd be like crazy people analyzing each other like all the time. Like, I think that it's not weird so much as it is like, I don't like psycho. It's weird because like my job is people, right? Like, my job is to be able to, like, communication isn't just what people are saying. It's what people are doing, how they're acting, what is their body language saying. And you don't just, those things don't turn off when you, like, walk out of the office. You're like, okay, like, I'm, not aware of it anymore. So I think, like, there are certain things that I'm able to, like, pick up on. You know, like, I can read body language really, really well. Really?
Saying
that you're really attuned to me right now. You're really paying attention to what I'm saying.
You're so right. I wish everybody could see what I just said.
It was cute.
Thanks, babe.
But you know, I think so it's easy to kind of like pick up on that shit or like but other, you know, I don't think that I'm exempt, you know, from any of the normal dating problems that people come across, like just because I'm a psychologist, like I'm not a fucking mind reader. Mm-hmm. I think people think that we're mind readers because we can like see things that like maybe you're not saying. Like, I think people are just used to thinking that the only way that you can communicate is by saying something to someone. Mm-hmm. But it's not. Yeah. You know, like, I'm not a mind reader. I can just see what your body is saying to me.
That's that makes perfect sense. But I've just kind of like always wondered too, because I feel like you just have such like a more like, or like such a granular understanding of the mind.
Yeah.
So I think when you go into a relationship, right, and you go into a relationship with somebody that maybe isn't as educated in the sense of like physical, emotional, mental needs, it could drive you nuts. It could make you react different. So I was just kind of curious at where, right?
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the other thing too. Like, it's really interesting being a therapist in therapy. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a person that really values like self-growth and like self-awareness, like learning more about yourself so that you can be like a better person for you, but also like be a better person to the people around you and the people that you care about, and like the planet and like all that good stuff.
Fuck the planet. I'm just kidding.
We're pro planet over here.
Yeah, we are. Pro planet, please recycle.
But yeah, no, like, and I cannot date someone that's like, that doesn't value that. That doesn't value, like, maybe they haven't gone to therapy yet, but they see the value in it. You know, that's fine to me. Like, I can understand like people not wanting to like go to therapy. Like, it's vulnerable and it's hard. But like, never, like, being so closed off, and when you're like, no, I'm never gonna go, or like if there's like such a like dedication to like not learning.
Yeah,
that's like too, that's like, that ain't it for me.
No, I feel that.
Yeah.
Full disclaimer, I've never been to therapy.
That's okay.
I know.
But okay, but what, okay, so that's so interesting because okay. I want to know.
Yeah.
And you can obviously like, you know, share. Yeah.
I'm a full open book. I love will literally tell you about every dildo that I have. Or my, and I will tell you about my weird
we're
family.
We're pro trump. Sex toy over here.
Yo, one yes. time. All right, you guys, I need to tell you now that we're on this. And you can ask, save your question. One time, this happened recently. This happened beginning of quarantine, right? Because you're in quarantine. You're like, what am I doing? I'm like, sex toys, right?
Was that your first time getting them?
No, I've had okay. I've had plenty, but I was okay. like, you know what? What else am I doing other than masturbating? So, like, it's either that I'm working or masturbating. Oh my god, my boss is listening to this. I'm sorry, Chelsea. But then that it's fine. Everything's fine. This is really important to the conversation, but. So I decided to order like a new vibrator, and I was just like on the phone with my friend, and I was like, yeah, I'm ordering this fucking thing, and it's like I'm like Adam and Eve, and it's like this, like they're like, ooh. Yeah, great reviews, right? And it's just like it's
oh my god, I'm afraid for what you're
it is like saying. 10 inch black ass dildo with like a huge clit stimulator.
What? And
I didn't even like read anything else other than like great reviews and like,
fun times.
It was a great time, but
you heard it here first, baby.
It was like the 50 Shades of Grey edition, but it's not important. But it is important.
It is.
Actually. Accidentally ordered it to my parents' house.
Fun.
But, so no. So but my parents open all of my mail. So my 6'4" ass tan Russian Putin looking dad likes to open all my mail. So I call my mom accidentally in this panic, and I was like, mom.
I really can't with this story.
Oh my god. I was like, I ordered something in the house. You can't open it. You can't. You just need to tell
now
dad.
Now you know she's gonna open it after you
no,
say
No, she
that.
Fucking, she was like, what'd you order? And I was like, mom, I can't tell you. And she's like trying to pull it out of me. And I was like, mom, I can't tell you. And she's like literally spending like a week trying to get it out of me. And like, I'm really open to my mom. My mom knows everything about my sex life. Mm-hmm. Like, she is just, she laughs about it. She thinks I'm just a big shit show. So I know, right? But I was like so concerned about the fact that accidentally my dad is going to open this like giant box of this large 50 Shades of Grey, like large
dildo
vibrating
with
dildo
stimulator.
With clit stimulation. You know, it ain't a cute little fucking lipstick vibrator. It's no. like a big, dude, that shit is as big as my forearm. I was looking at it like, oh my god, this is questionable.
Those are for date nights with yourself.
Dude. It was quarantine, you know, I was drinking wine.
Give yourself the good D.
You might meet that frisky man.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to talk about it, but
we're there.
Anyways, so whatever. My mom talks to my dad. He doesn't open it. But I go to my parents' house. And my dad's, like, really awkward because I feel like part of him kind of knows what's in the box.
Stop it.
So I, like, show up to my garage. My dad's, like, shirtless in the garage. Per usual. Because my dad. It's my dad. It's fine. Looks like Putin in school. He, like, hands me this box. He's like, your box has arrived. He's like, Russian accent.
Stop right now.
I don't know how to not be awkward about it because I know what's in the box. And it's, like, this, like, loud, like, large thing. And I'm like, thank you.
Give me that.
And I just like take the box and like leave, and I'm just like literally mortified. But I end up calling my mom later and telling her what was in the box, and she just lost her fucking shit.
Wait, so did he see what was in it? Or
no, he didn't see what was in the box. It was like, it was discreet packaging.
But he like, I could think that, sense it.
I think a part of him knew because I just like was so adamant about them not opening.
You're like, give me the box, please.
Not opening this fucking box.
That sounds like my fucking nightmare, dude.
Dude, it was such a nightmare. My heart rate was like 180 for like a week straight.
I like don't even think I could bring. How did that get ordered to your parents'
so
house?
So I just like to get like my most important shit mailed to my parents' house. They don't live that far from me.
My sister said, okay, so everyone See? Does this. Yes. I just don't do it.
I do it. Well, but you live in LA. So we live, my parents live down the street. I live here. And I mean, in all reality, like it only makes sense. And when I was living with roommates, I just didn't want all our mail mixed up. And then if they got the mail that, I'm sorry that they didn't, or I didn't know that something came in.
Oh my god.
At least one of my parents gets something.
My mom's always home, so I could always, she's always there.
Yeah.
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 Exactly.
Safe. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's another thing. It's just like safety and shit like that. And plus, it's another pain in the ass to like change your driver's license. So, like,
hey,
it's
my parents.
Oh, there it is. All right. Adri, you heard it here first. Adri said.
Why to send packages to your parents' house.
Straight up. Okay, so I'm so sorry. This took like a really big turn, but my last comment was that
you've never been to therapy.
Never been to therapy. So what was your question?
Okay, so I'm so curious about this because I feel like this is and I you know, I feel like I kind of know what a lot of people's reluctance about going to therapy is.
Yes.
But I'm so curious because you're a person that I feel like is super, like, you're so insightful. Like, mm-hmm. you're super insightful. You're super self-aware. And I feel like you're interested in psychology and, like, learning about yourself. So I just feel like I'm so, like, shocked almost that you haven't gone to therapy or, like, why you haven't gone to therapy yet. I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a couple reasons.
Yeah.
My first quote unquote excuse. I'm just really lazy to book an appointment.
Okay.
And I just don't want to take the time.
It's hard to find a therapist.
That too. And I think right now, especially in quarantine, is probably the time that I probably needed. Well, actually, no, I've needed a therapist for the last 10 years, but it's fine.
Dude, everyone needs a fucking therapist.
I absolutely agree. But so in quarantine, and a lot of what I've heard is like a lot of new therapists. A lot of therapists aren't taking new clients. And I have a hard time of like connecting people like with like ins like or across Zoom, right? Like I feel like
it can be weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I feel like for us, like right, like me, you, Adri, like we've like been tested. We've only like essentially seen each other plus like the like other few folks. So like it's a little bit easier for us to like meet in person.
Yeah,
and I kind of understand where like the therapist comes in because if they're like gauging so many more clients, like I can only imagine what they feel like.
Yeah,
and. In all reality, for me, again, it's just, like, taking the time, finding the right person to, like, vibe with, and
totally.
The money. I think the money is extremely...
Oh, my gosh, so valid.
And I'm not saying that I'm not in a good place. Like, I am, but, like, again, do I want to spend the extra $100 per session? That's, you know, and I'm not quite sure how it is, but I'm only assuming it's $100 per session. That's $400 a month. That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
It's
like a car payment.
Oh, 100%. And I'm like, what, like, whatever the math is, like, $4,000 a month? Like, probably even more than that.
It's really expensive.
It's expensive. And I'm not knocking your field. I think it's absolutely important. And I think that people should do it. And I have the insurance. And I'm wondering, too. I've never looked at the prices with insurance. So maybe it's a little bit different. But that's always been, like, kind of like this overarching, like, cloud, if you will. But
that's so valid.
But a few other things are that, like, also, like, culturally for a really long time, especially all through like my 20s and my teens, like, and I mean, you know this too, like growing up in like an immigrant family, like therapy wasn't really glamorized, right?
Totally.
It was really taboo. It was really weird. Like if you need therapy, there was probably something wrong with you. Like there was like some mental issue that you're going through.
Like there's something wrong with you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's not the case. And I said this in episode one where I went on a hike with my mom and I kind of like told her, we were talking about therapy and like the importance of it and things like that. And she goes, oh, Maria, like, you know, she's like, our therapy. Oh, she goes, back in the day, we would take like a bottle of vodka to our friend's house, you know, smoke a couple cigarettes and that we call it a day. And that was therapy. And I get that. But like nowadays, right, the way to make your relationships, your friendships, your relationships going forward, whatever that may be, if you're not self-aware, it's therapy.
Yeah.
And I wholeheartedly agree with that. But I think that this like cultural stigma kind of like sticks in my brain. And so that was something that was overarching.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third reason would be that, like you said, right, like I'm extremely self-aware. So
yeah.
I have done, in the last like 10 years, I've probably done more work on myself than I have like most of my friends and like than I ever have in my teens. And
yeah.
I think that for me, I'm not saying that like a therapist isn't like important for like growth. But I'm saying that, like, I have done, like, essentially, like, the research. And I kind of understand why I'm the way that I am. Like,
totally.
I'm not, like, blind to the fact that, like, my upbringing has affected the way that I continually react in my relationships, my friendships, and things like that. Like, I have a calm demeanor because of X, Y, Z. Like, I've been able to figure all these things out.
Yeah.
But I think that where therapy can essentially help me is that there are a lot of things that I, like, still struggle with that I can't essentially cross, right? Like...
Yeah.
Things where it has to do with like with image or validation or something so simple as like we talked about like kind of like these like five like love languages, right? Where like being like a pleaser, like I was like, I don't know sometimes how to overcome that, like
totally.
Where I'm working towards it and I'm aware,
yeah.
but it's crossing that bridge in those relationships.
So hard.
Yes, it is. And so, so those are probably like the three biggest reasons as to like why mm-hmm. I haven't really like invested in therapy, which I think at the end of the day are valid.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like that's, I mean, that's not uncommon. Like, I feel like that's a lot of the times, like, you know, like you were saying, like, it's not that you don't think that therapy is like valuable or like worth like, you know, $100 a session. It's just really expensive. Like, it's a lot of money to, you know, put forward every month. And I think that that's a, I mean, that's a critique like that I have of my field, right? I think if you love your field, you can sing its praises, but you also know the weak spots, like, you know, where it needs to like get better. And I think like therapy is just not accessible to people. Yeah. Like, it's just not financially accessible to folks. Like, and now it's like, you know, it's so funny because I feel like you're like, oh my God, I'm always in your DMs. And it's like, a lot of people are like, people have questions. Like, they don't know how to find a fucking therapist. Like, so not only is it not like always financially accessible to people, like, people don't even know where to go and look for one. Yeah. You know, like, they don't even know where to start. And it's like, can we like let people know about like, you know, can we make ourselves a little bit more accessible to people? And the stigma thing is like, it's huge.
Yeah. But you think about like our schooling, right? We were never taught like that therapy was like, okay.
Oh my God. No, actually I remember, like being in high school and like, I think I was probably like 15 or 50. I couldn't have been more than 16. Like, I feel like it was probably like my sophomore year, but I remember asking my mom, I was like, Mom, I feel like I need to go to therapy. Like, I just like was really unhappy with, I don't know. Like, I just like wasn't, I didn't feel like I was like myself. And I think I was like dealing with some like relationship stuff at that time that like really wasn't healthy. And I knew that I needed help and I just couldn't talk to my mom or my dad about it because, you know, I think that that's the other thing is like growing up with immigrant parents, you know, it's like the values and like what dating looks like, what relationships look like. It's just, it's hard to have those conversations. Like, when I was a teenager, I could not have those conversations with my parents. It was like, you know, they weren't ready to have it. Like, I wasn't ready to have it. So it was just like a bunch of avoidance. And my mom was like, why? Like, why do you need to go to therapy? You know, like, you're fine. Like, you'll be fine. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, no, I need to go to therapy.
Yeah. Well, I guess on in that vein too, like, what is your background? Because a lot of people know that, like, well, actually, for those that know, let me go into that. So, Russian, immigrated here when I was seven, moved to like Mission Viejo, Orange County. Obviously had like a immigrant upbringing. My parents, and I talked about this in episode one, where like my parents were, you know, like working 16-hour days. So it was a lot different, right? Like, you're essentially bringing yourself up. Like, I had to, it was like to the point where I was like in speech classes because like nobody can help me like articulate like words or things like that. So, right, like my brain was a little bit different than most. So again, so like go into where, what was your upbringing like, or where are you from?
So, my dad both my parents came to the States in the 80s. My dad came here first from India, like was, did his master's here at Cal State Long Beach, and was working and going to school and essentially like on his, you know, him and my mom were engaged. And then like, basically the only time he could get off was like his winter break from school. So he, you know, went to India, him and my mom got married. And then, you know, like my mom came sometime later.
What she said. So I'm sorry. I had to. Office is going to be off Netflix on December 31st. So I have to.
I can't even talk about it. This is another reason why I fucking love you.
I love you.
You have respect and reverence for the office.
Baby. All right. So your dad, India, let's get after it.
Yeah. So like, my dad, one of the hardest working people that I know, has always been the provider for our family. And my mom, we were super lucky to have our mom at home.
Yeah.
And she worked, so like pretty much throughout I have a younger sister. She's 3 years younger than I am. And then we also have a younger brother.
I literally forget that you're not an only child. Yeah! And it's like blowing my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. My brother is, he's 14. So he's like the real baby of our family. But yeah, like, so my mom had a home daycare when we were kids. So we like grew up with a shit ton of kids in our house. And it was nice because like our mom was always there. You know, like we always had a parent in the house. But I think you know, you also grow up sharing your mom with like 10 other kids, you know? So, you know, it's just, I don't think that I ever was like starved for attention, but I think it was just also like, you know, I was pretty used to my mom having to take care of like a million different things, you know, like she's working, but she's also like at home. And her work is at home. So it's like, you know, I think in some ways I got to experience like that, like, you know, dad goes to work and mom stays at home and we go to school, like the whole like typical kind of like growing up thing.
Yeah.
But I think like just the differences in like value systems was so fucking hard as a teenager. Like we would get into it. Me and my mom would fucking get into it, dude. Like,
give me like a good example.
Oh
like
my god. Really okay, prominent. Boys were always an issue. Like, always a problem. Like, I always wanted to date, and I wasn't allowed to date. Hot.
Thank you. You're hot. Oh, I'm sorry. I should leave with you're fucking smart because you are.
But yeah, you know, like I think, and I escaped through school. Honestly, like that was kind of also my escape, and it was something that I knew I could control.
Yeah.
You know, so I think like I always had this rep even as in high school, like I had it definitely throughout college that like, you know, Snolly's always like in class or fucking whatever, like studying or like
the
whatever.
Perfectionist, the good girl.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's just it's always been the thing that I can like control.
Yeah.
So to a certain extent, obviously. But so a lot of that was a lot of my upbringing was like, and my sister had like her own experiences with our parents. Like, I think, you know, it's so interesting. I think that was the other part of like why I was so interested in psych is like me and my sister, and now seeing it with my brother, we all are growing up like in the same household, same parents. Parents have stayed married. But like we all are so different. And I'm like, why are people like that? Like, how does that happen? You know? And it's like, obviously because we're all different people, but it was just always so weird to me, you know, to see like my mom and my dad had such different issues with my sister. And for me, it was always boys. Like I always wanted a date. I always wanted to like go to the dances with, it was just always such a big deal to have to like take a date to a dance, you know, like I'd have to bring it up like months in advance.
What was their issue with it?
I think it's just like there's this expectation that like it's not like it's just not important, you know, like you're not supposed to like there's other more important things for you to focus on, like,
oh, like you have to be a doctor.
Yeah,
the typical immigrant family of but be a doctor, marry a doctor, make six figures, have 17 houses.
Oh my god.
Have, and like, listen, 20 mils.
There's great things about that too, right? Like I definitely got my hustle like from my parents. I know what it means to work hard. Like I know what it means to like set goals for myself.
Yep.
But also I think it's really detrimental because I don't place like value as much value as I'd like to. Like I, of course, like I want a partner, like those are things that I want for myself, but I think it's hard for me sometimes to like not value like work, you know, over a relationship or like just other things that I feel like are more controllable over like a, you know, like things that I can just like, this is all me. Like I know that I can create like a certain outcome if I just work a certain way. Like relationships are not like that, you know, like you're dealing with a person who has feelings and like, you know, their own wants and their own. So it's just, it's, I think, you know, I'm now at the place that I'm in therapy, whereas like, I'm starting to just get comfortable. I've gotten comfortable with telling myself what I want in relationships, that it's okay to like want a partner. Doesn't make you like a dumb girl because you want that. Like it's normal to want a partnership.
Oh, I'm a sucker. Like I love companionship. Like
I mean I was like that too, you know. I was like a serial dater before, but I think it's just kind of like I don't know. It's, I feel like it's way too much to go into. I've had, like, literally, for reference, I've been in therapy for like 6 years. So,
but you've also been in the field, so I call it research. So just in case.
I mean, it's like you want to know what it's like to be on the other side too, yeah. You know, like what it's like to be a client. And it's just, yeah. Yeah. You want a therapist that's probably gone to therapy before. Thank you for dropping me off.
You're welcome. I mean, I'm all here for like just allowing the wine to flow.
Just keep it flowing.
No, I love that. And I love that you actually brought that up. So like, so when you and I talked, one of the biggest things that we kind of wanted to discuss, especially now, is, dating traumas when it comes to like things that we, or situations that we learned like in our childhoods. And again, you and I just we have spent years, and I know you have actually spent years in physical therapy, where I've spent like personal years kind of going through this. And it's and it's, you know, essentially reflecting who we are in our partners because of like our upbringings. And like, I wanted to talk to you about that in the sense of like your feelings, the work that you have done, and maybe like even like just past stories that you have had. And I don't know the best like way to go into that, but I guess like what are your thoughts on like that like discussion in itself?
Yeah. I mean, this is, I think that this is such an important like topic to talk about. And I actually think like working with college kids, like a lot of times what they're coming in to talk to you about is like their relationships, right? Like maybe they're like rough in it with their roommate, or like things are rough with teammates, or like they keep dating a certain kind of person and they're just like, dude, what's up? Like, I don't like what's going on. Like, you know, maybe they come into therapy because they want to bitch about everybody else. Right. But it's, and so I think I've gotten really, I've had to get, this is like, cause I think it's complex, but I've tried to find ways to like make it easy to understand. So if it doesn't make sense, like tell me and I'll try and like
lay it on daddy.
Okay. So I feel like the way that I usually try to explain it, because there's like this stereotype, right? Of like, we date our mommies or we date our daddies, like, or you have mommy issues or daddy issues or like whatever. And it's like, you know, I think that there's like, sometimes there's like a little nugget of truth in like some of these like catchy phrases that we hear. And I mean, I think it's what it mostly is like, we're not like, when we're born into the world, we don't just know how to exist, right? Like, maybe there's like certain things that are like we know how to like breathe, like shit, like that, like basic shit, right? But learning how to like emotionally express or like relate to other people, those aren't just things that we're born knowing how to do. We learn a lot of those things from our caregivers. The people that we're raised by or that we're raised around have so much influence on teaching us like literally how to be people that just exist in the world. And so I think for a lot of, you know, when you're growing up and like when you're just surviving, like whether you're growing up with like mom and dad or aunts and uncles or grandparents or foster parents or adoptive parents or whatever it is, there's an influence there, right? Like you're learning something about what you can expect from other people. You're learning about what other people expect from you. You're kind of learning things about what relationships provide and don't provide, right? Amongst other things in the world. So, and you grow up thinking that that's normal. Like that's what you know, that's how you survive, right? Like that's how you're surviving your childhood.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of times, maybe this is, I'm just biased because I work with a lot of college kids, but I feel like it's such an interesting time. Cause like after you, at least legally, in, you know, America at 18, you're a fucking adult. So when you graduate high school or you're whatever, you get your GED or whatever, like there's this like shift. There's like this shift that happens to like more independence. And like, I feel like that's a lot of the time when people start to say like, is what I've grown up with, like, is this working for me? Like, am I noticing? Some people don't. Like, we don't always have a ton of incentive to ask ourselves that question. But I feel like, you know, that's when you get to college and you're like, I can do, like, what I want. Like, yeah. I can stay out. I can make, like, whatever types of friends I want. You know, you're growing up. You go to the same elementary school, same middle school, same high school. So those are the people that you grow up with. Those are your friends. A lot of times they're out of convenience. You know, they're people that live locally. They're on the same teams as you. Like, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But in college, afterwards, you get more of a choice. Like, there's more freedom in that. And so I just, I think that there's maybe, like, people come to a point where they're just kind of like, why do I do that? Like, what is that about? Or, like, why do I always date guys that are X? Why do I always you know, like, why do I always date guys that are emotionally unavailable, right? Like, that was a big thing for me. Like, that's mm-hmm. That's been a big question for me in my dating life is, like, why am I drawn to people that are, like, emotionally unavailable?
Oh, my foreign heart just sinks in depth.
And I feel like you and I talk about this, like, mm-hmm. we talk about this a lot, yeah. like... Because it's, I think a part of it is just perpetuated by, like, dating culture. But I think even more than that, like, you know, I grew up, like, in our culture, we're not, like, super touchy-feely folks. Like, yeah. we don't sit there and we don't, like, talk about our feelings all the time. Or if, like, my mom or my dad said something to me that was upsetting to me or hurt me or made me feel neglected or, like, whatever, like, I couldn't just, like, go up to them and be like, what's going on? You know, like, can you love me? Or, like, whatever little kids, you know, like, would say. But it's, like, you just kind of expect that that's the norm is to, like, you know, maybe that's met with dismissiveness. Maybe, like, when you try to do it, it's just, like, you're shut down or it's just kind of, like, you know, you're whatever. You're not, like, so you learn, like, maybe I'm not really supposed to talk about shit like that, you know, like, or it doesn't really, whenever I've tried to do it, it doesn't really, like, help me. So I'm just, like, not really gonna, like, or it makes me uncomfortable then to actually have to, like, when I talk to someone, if they're, like, super touchy-feely, I'm like, what's up with you? Like, why are you like that? You know? So, I mean, I think I mostly say all of that just to say is, like, we go with what we know. So, yeah. like, and what we know is what we're raised with. And
it's the subconscious mind making a presence in our everyday.
That's, like, beautifully, beautifully said. Yeah. You know, and I think, because, like, we don't, like, actively think about, like, I'm going to relate to this person this way. Like, I'm going to do this. It's like, well, what did you see your mom and dad doing? Or, like, what did you see your parents or your caregivers acting like towards each other? Because that's what you learn that mom, that's what people in relationships do, you know? So if you grew up seeing mom and dad, like, bitch at each other when they're mad, you're going to think it's hella normal to bitch at your partner when you're mad, you yeah. know? One of my favorite things, I feel like, I forgot where I read this from. That's what it was. I saw this video of this baby, like, totally throwing, like, a fucking tantrum. Like,
my nightmare, okay.
Oh, my God. Literally, like, throwing a crazy-ass tantrum. And, you know, I saw, there was, like, a social worker that was kind of, like, reflecting on it. And she was like, you know, like, you can't be mad at the kid for, like, acting like, where did the kid learn that from? Mm-hmm. Where are they learning that this is how you express anger? This is how you express frustration. Like, that's not just something that, like, comes out of thin air. It's something that you literally have to, like, actively teach to your children.
Yeah.
So just on another note real quick, one time when I was just in a public space, one of the biggest public spaces in our country, Disneyland, I had seen the same interaction with a parent and a child. And I was actually very interested in that because of the way you were just saying, the way yeah. that children tend to throw tantrums. I'm not really sure, like, if it was the parent's history or whatever it may have been, but this kid was just throwing a tantrum. The father was just calm as just snow, just kind of yeah. like... It is
peaceful, you
know,
yeah.
He was just kind of like, you know, let him go. Let him, hey, what can I do for you?
Yeah.
Give me a hug. Yeah. Give me a kiss. Yeah. And I had never really seen a parent do that. So yeah. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Really, what really makes the difference here?
Yeah.
Do you let the children continue this path when they first do that? And that's what really stems it. Or do you do this and show affection and yeah. show, like,
you know, a acknowledgement to the child's feelings, even though they might not even understand what acknowledgement truly is yet.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, what you're saying is,
it's just like validating, you know, like it's like you're not gonna know like what it means to like, why would a kid just all of a sudden know how to like calmly express their emotions when every time they try to express it to you, you're like, please stop, like shut the fuck up, or like, oh my God, like let me yank you out of this room and like take you, so, you know, like nip the behavior in the bud. But it's also like let them know that like that's not the way that we express that we're angry, you know, like if you're whooping on your kids and yelling at them and screaming, like that is just a reflection of like your inability, right, to handle your own emotions and your kids' emotions.
Yeah.
So I think like that's all information that I've had to learn like recently. You know, like I didn't grow up like that. Like we grew up with a lot of like tension. There's like, if we're upset, we're yelling at each other. Like it's, you know, so you have to like, I think a lot of therapy then has helped me like unlearn stuff so I can relearn something healthier and like more adaptive for myself.
I agree with that. Adri brought up like such a good point, and then I start questioning kind of like my own personal behaviors, because something that we talked about like a little bit before this is like the five love styles, and for me, what I've learned is I grew up in like a toxic household, and I know Adri knows like a little bit more about this, but Sonali, I don't know how much you know, but
yeah, like, I want to hear it.
For me, like I think it was like me constantly trying to like please my family, right? I think that like I was always knocked for like having emotion or feeling emotional. So it was every single time that I would bring up something that was like in that kind of sphere, it was like, you need to like essentially like box that up.
Yes.
You can't express anything that you feel. You can't talk about it. You need to like take control. And then for me, so I became this like pleasing kind of like love style. So for me, as coming into that kind of like controlling household, I had to be a person that like subjected to like whatever I felt, right? So I had to like please the other party. And then it kind of like went into like my relationship. So for me, it was like coming into like from like these overprotective parents. So I had to say like, okay, fine, whatever you want is right, because I don't want to deal with this conflict.
So, because it's so overwhelming to have to deal with it, right?
Yeah, 100%.
And so, it's just easier to keep the peace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's like, and I think that a lot of times that it still stems into my like current relationships, which is, I think, is the hard part. But I've over time, because of like this kind of psychological background, I've done so much work on myself where I've said, you know what, like, I don't think that this is right. Like, I think that I need to take a step back and realize that like, I'm not setting the appropriate boundaries for myself, and I need to, and I'm also not communicating in the right patterns.
Oh my God.
In my last relationship, I feel like I talk about this all the time, where I just, like, every time I would talk about something important, he would shut down. So then I'd like shut down my own like personal like opinions or beliefs. So then it was like years of just like us not talking about anything that was important. Yeah. And so at the end of the day, like, that was a detriment to our relationship. So now I vowed to myself to say, I'm never going to be that person again. Yeah. I want to be the person that, like, one, speaks my mind. If that's going to turn somebody off, that's going to turn somebody off.
Absolutely.
And I don't have time for the fucking drama. I don't have time. Thank you. Snap, snap, snaps. I don't have time for somebody sitting here telling me that, like, well, I don't, like, you know, Maria, you said X, Y, and Z, and I just think that you're being over emotional. I'm sorry, but like, my feelings are valid. So, right? Exactly. It's a trigger. So we're either going to talk about it, or you're going to step.
Totally.
Because at the end of the day, my feelings are valid, and I don't care how minuscule you think that they are, right? But because I'm a pleaser, I need to like take a step fucking back and realize I am valid and I am important, and what I have to say is,
such good boundaries.
Yes.
And there's a boundary. Such good boundaries. Yeah.
But again, but it's hard because I feel like I've built up so many fucking walls and so many issues. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, I had to think about, like, in my relationships, the things that I can control, right? And, like, I've had, like, really bad, like, body issues, like, shit like that, right? Like, eating disorders, whatever that may be.
Yeah.
But, like, those were all things that I could control, right? Right. Like, my eating, my activity, the things that I could do, the things that I could say. Like, I kept trying to, like, hone into those.
Yeah.
But that didn't mean that it was healthy.
Yeah.
And so, I just, again, over time, I've kind of had to find that, like, perfect kind of balance. And I'm still working on it.
Absolutely.
But I kind of wonder, like, how many times are people coming to you, right? Like, in your, like, field, like, yeah. that actually either maybe understand that or need to work on it. And, like, how do you even react to that? Like, what kind of advice do you give people that you know are a product of the family?
Yeah. You know, I think a big part of it is, like, letting folks know that there's, like, there's not really any shame in that. Yeah. Like, you know, like, we're not bringing up your upbringing to, like, shame your parents, you know, or to, like, say, like, dude, mm-hmm. look at how shitty your life was, you know? It's, yeah. it's literally just to say, like, you're asking yourself, like, what's contributing to me making decisions or living my life in a particular way? Well, this is it. Like, these are some of the circumstances that might have influenced that. Because this was valued or this was valued, like this was considered to be good. Like those are the things that we talk about in therapy, right? It's about framing it as something that helped you survive your childhood.
Yeah.
It's something that helped you survive that home life, like whatever it was, you know? And that's kind of like what I was alluding to earlier when it's like, you know, like maybe you're like going off to college and you're like trying to do that same shit and people are like, dude, what the fuck? Like, you don't need to act, like, why are you acting like that? Like, you don't need to act like that here. It's like, I don't know. It's like a stupid example that I can think of is like someone going off to college to be like, no, I have to be home at 10 or I have to be back in my dorm by 10. And it's like, why? Like, why do you have to be home at 10? It's like, well, I was always home at 10. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's like a really dumb example, but it's just kind of like, you know, you get to a certain place and you're like, I realize I don't have to do things the way that I've always done them. Like you yeah. can, if you're aware of how those things have influenced you, it's like you can make a decision to do something differently, you know? So I think a lot of it is like, I do get people that come in and they're like, you know, like a lot of this stuff is like learned from families or like, you know, a lot of the athletes that I work with like struggle, especially at like really high levels, like struggle so much with perfectionism.
Yeah.
For a lot of different reasons, but like a lot of them had like really tough parents, you know, like who were like, well, if you don't perform this way, that means that you're this person. Like it mm-hmm. says something about your character.
It's a control factor.
And it's like, well, you know now, right? Like as a child, you couldn't have known that that wasn't the truth. You take what your parents say and what they do as like, as the law, like is what it's supposed to be, because you don't think that your parents are gonna like, you know, you think that they're gods, like, you know, yeah. that they can't do any wrong, their mom and dad, like whatever, you know. And so it's just, you know, like you don't ask yourself like those questions, I think, until you're like, wait, I don't like have to think that way. Like if I have a shitty game, it doesn't mean that I'm like a shitty person, you know, mm-hmm. like I just have like a shitty game. So I think, you know, reframing it, like taking the shame out of it, like you didn't come from like a shit. It's just like, these are the circumstances that you have.
Yeah.
This is how it's influenced you, but it doesn't have to be that way forever.
Yeah.
These circumstances can be what they are because they're a part of your life, but also like it's a part like of your life, you know, your family upbringing is really important, but it doesn't have to be like, it doesn't have to define your entire life or yeah. define how you do relationships forever or define how you do anything forever.
And I guess like, so I kind of like almost like want to leave you on this question, right? In regards to what we talked about and like survival conditioning.
Yeah.
How do you change that? The three people that listen to this are like, shit, I'm woke, right?
Proper Scarlet A.
Thank you, Adri, got us right. Like, so what, it, like, I guess, what are the next steps? Like, because I yeah. think that that's, mm-hmm. that's the hardest part is now you realize. So what do you do? Well, yeah. How do you take that next step forward? That's how do you change?
I think like, I really love this question because I think I have seen how much I've changed, right? Like, yep. Over the last 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
And when I think about what I've done to get there, like, I think, well, it's always about like intentional effort, like putting an intentional effort to do the change. But also like for me, like keeping small promises to myself. So if I'm asking myself like, what is it that's important to me? Like if I'm going to therapy every day, whatever, or every week. And like my goal is to become a better communicator, whatever. Like, am I taking the steps? Like, you're not just going to wake up one day and, like, be a fucking fabulous communicator because you've been in therapy for, you know, 10 months. Like, it's, I think it's about
doing the work.
Doing, and I hate that. It's such a cliche answer, but I think it's like, what are you doing in the small things every single day, you know, to like, so like for me, I think a lot of what you were saying earlier about like being the pleaser, like it resonates so much with me because I think the analogy that my therapist and I have used in therapy is like, you know, I feel like there's a certain key like that I can unlock like a loving behavior from someone or like affection or like a certain type of relate. Like I just have to perform a certain way or I just have to people please in a certain way to be able to get my needs met. And so it's like recognizing that like I have my own needs, you know, like I don't have to just do what everyone else wants to do. Like, what do I want? Like, what do I want? And recognizing that I have the power to like make that happen by the choices that I make in every single day.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't have to wait for like 10 years from now. Like you can wake up tomorrow and be like, what can I do today to like make myself a better communicator? Like, can I be more honest with someone about how I'm feeling? Like, can I, you know, like even if it's something as small as like, I'm going to tell a friend like how much I appreciate them today because I'm just going to practice to be more vulnerable, right? Like a part of being a good communicator is being willing to be vulnerable. So like that's, you know, it's just like, it's practicing the little things consistently every day.
Yeah.
Like fitness, right? Like it's like, you're always like, we talk about the little goals, like the everyday goals, like the process goals. What are you doing that's within your control?
Yeah.
To get to where you want to be at. And that's like, I think that that's another thing, like focus on what's within your control. Like you can't make other people do anything. People are going to do what they're going to do, but you can make the decision of, oh, well, that's someone that, you know, I'm dating someone, they don't want to like text me back for 3 days. Well, I don't want to date somebody like that. So I'm going to choose to like move on. Like you can't be so attached to a certain outcome, that you're willing to forego like what you need and like what you want.
And what I kept thinking about the entire time we talked is that like this morning I literally texted a friend who was going through a rough time and he had said, you know, he's like, I feel like I'm going through X, Y, and Z and it's nothing that I can control. And I literally said to him and I go, I love you and you need to take a step back.
Yeah.
Think about the things that you can control. Right. And I think that this goes into dating.
Yeah.
Right. Because like, think about all the shit that you can control. Think about all the things that you can say. Think about all the things that you can do. And at the end of the day, if like you have put in the work and you have like settled all your like subconscious thoughts and you have lived in that moment and you have done all the things that you need to do.
Right.
That's when you need to take a step back and realize like, is it me or is it the other person? Or is it this other thing that I can't do anything else about?
And then you get to make a choice.
Yeah.
You know, like whether the choice is like, if you stay, you're going to feel a certain type of way, but you also can make the choice to like not stay. And like, what is that going to mean? Right. Like there's grief either way. So you might as well pick what feels most congruent to you. Like what feels the best for you.
Yeah. No, I agree. But I guess so. To like on a final note, is there anything that you want to leave people with in regards to anything from your field when it comes to dating? Like, is there something that you just need people to know?
I don't know if I like feel like I need people to know anything. I just think that it's okay for you to like, you know, I kind of just wish that people were more like honest about like what they were looking for up front. Like, it's okay to just be like, I'm honestly not looking for a relationship. I just kind of am looking for to hook up, or like, no, I'm actually looking for a relationship. Like that, it's okay to be super intentional about that.
So no, I actually love that. Intention and like being honest with who you feel. Yes. So Sonali, let people know where they can fucking find you if you want.
Please.
You can be totally incognito. So
no, Instagram is at Dr. Sonali Wasson. It's just DrSonaliWason. And then we also have a practice, like our group practice page. But we're, you know, and we have a website. Our website is on our Instagram page and everything. So if you guys are interested or just even have any questions about like consult, if your company or if your group, your church group, your, you know, if you have like a group of parents, like anything, we're here to kind of help you guys out. It's a really rough time right now for everybody.
Amen.
So even if you have kiddos that are having a hard time in school, like anything that you guys might need, you can ask us questions at our page. Give us a call. Thanks for having me. This is awesome.
No, this is fucking bomb. So I want to end this. Adri, you're involved in this too. So we're going to do a little cheersy.
Yes, I love this.
You guys, that was so fucking awesome. Cheers, babies. I really want to have you back. I feel like you have so much good to say. Adri, you're going to be next.
Of course. I love it. I'm really happy to be back anytime.